You're listening to the Barbecue Nerds Podcast, where smoke meets science and flavor is our favorite experiment. Hey, barbecue lovers, I'm David, your resident pitmaster and science geek. Along with my co-host, Frank, we're diving deep into the world of barbecue, where tradition meets innovation. Now, let's get to today's episode.
What about, I know it sounds kind of odd, but what about taking pork and putting a Middle Eastern twist on it? Say with like so many
Jaffa
rubs or the horrific spiked vinegar sauces, something that gives an earthy, crusty kick with smoky pork. And I know that, you know, when we're thinking Middle Eastern, suddenly we start to think of like halal foods, things that have to be non-pork. But there's there's so many great seasonings that come out of the Middle East that utilize properly, the flavors are just outstanding. You think about your kebabs, for example, your chicken kebabs, your beef kebabs, all of that. That's a barbecue item, is it not? You know, you're putting it over in a charcoal, an open flame. It's a grill. Or the adobo ovens that are used.
Here's your Middle Eastern flavor profile. Explain to me a Middle Eastern profile, because I've not really been around it much.
So there's a lot of here's where it differentiates. When people think Middle Eastern, I don't know why this happens all the time. They start to think Greek food. They start to think of that yogurt cucumber sauce. But when we're really looking at Middle Eastern, it comes down to a lot of these different dry seasonings that are that you then add an oil to or a wine to make it into a paste. So you could do your dry rub on the outside if you chose to, but it's better when it's made into a paste. And then that paste, similar to like what you did with the chicken or the turkey a while back, where you took the al fregoni chimichurri rub and you put it underneath the skin. You could do just the same with a lot of your Middle Eastern rubs, where you're coating the outside of the chicken or you're infusing it on that lamb shoulder. Just like Hojo was mentioning here, that he does a Middle Eastern flavor profile on pulled lamb shoulder. So you can take the whole shoulder, the whole shoulder clod, and rub that down with olive oil, a little lemon juice, and then put your dry rub onto it so it becomes a little more pasty. Not to mention you also have the moisture that's going to be pulled out of the lamb. That's all that fat and that grease that's dripping down. Mm-hmm. It makes for an excellent flavor profile. It tends to be a bit smoky. There are some other Middle Eastern ingredients that are used that have, I'm going to say, more of like a sweeter smell. You might be familiar with this on rice pilafs. They tend to use some of these Middle Eastern spices. And Trumpet Master saying that Indian food smells amazing. That gets us into our masalas, curries again. That gets us into our vindaloos. That gets us into like the buttered chicken, things like that. In fact, you'll find that for people who don't want to use tallow when they're cooking, they will go over to ghee, which is a clarified butter, rather than the animal fats that you'll get from your lards and from your tallows.
Wow.
And here's Trumpet Master going in with tzatziki sauce, the best way that he spelled it. And that tzatziki sauce is that Greek yogurt that's combined with some other seasonings. And most people see it as that cucumber sauce that's on the side for their Greek salad at the diner.
Gyros.
Yes, that's correct for the gyros.
Gyros.
Platter and hummus.
What's
and baba
ganoush?
Baba ganoush. You take an eggplant and you roast it. So let's go back to just what standard charcoal barbecue instead of one of our big boy smokers that I have over my shoulder here. So you take that eggplant and you roast it live fire. And it gets very mushy. It gets a smoky flavor and profile to it. And then you can take it and put it into your immersion blender. Or if you're really good, you chop it up finely and you just keep mashing it till, again, it's like a paste. I don't remember all the seasoning. If Hojo wants to jump in and let us know what are the seasonings in baba ganoush that'll really help right about now. But that's what it is. And hummus is your chickpeas. Chickpeas and tahina. You take the chickpeas and those get mashed up. Add in some tahina, little olive oil, some garlic, mix that around, and you've got
tahine. That's Mexican.
No, not tahine. You're thinking tahine, which is a spice that has that
lime,
lime lemon flavor. No, this is tahina, which is which is another type of pasty type of substance that's added in order to make your hummus.
There's you don't put it on the rim like of a
homemade hummus.
You don't put it on the rim of a margarita glass.
I put tahini on the end. I maybe in some of the countries closer to the Middle East.
Maybe they do.
Maybe out there. You never know. You know.
Fusion.
If you've ever watched the Adam Sandler movie, Don't Mess with the Zohan, you put hummus on everything.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yep.
And so we have saying that we're saying tahin wrong. It's tajin.
It's tajin.
Tajin.
That way, that feels better. Tajin.
It's tajin. Yeah, it goes with your chicken phagitis and your case of Delilah's.
To Delilah's.
Or you put it right there in your Bloody Mary. Goodness. That one I could go for. That definitely deserves to be on the rim of a Bloody Mary.
Which one?
Tajin.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were saying the other stuff. What is the other stuff?
The hummus? Oh, you're talking about the tahina?
Tahina.
Yeah, that would be a very interesting type of margarita. You'd have a ring around your face of hummus. Some, instead of using a napkin, someone will just come over with a pita and just like, you know, wipe it off. That's it.
Goodness.
Here it is. Hojo has saved the day, jumped in. Here we go. So baba ganoush is eggplant, tahini paste, garlic, lemon juice, and olive oil. Simple stuff. Great stuff coming out of the Middle East. He's right. I love all those little dips and spreads. You know, being in Brooklyn with like my Israeli friends over there and the Russians, let's just say all the Middle Eastern and Eastern European people, they loved all these different dips before we got involved with all the wines and all the vodkas that would go along with it. They weren't big beer drinkers. They were big vodka and wine drinkers.
Interesting. Yeah.
So maybe you're right. Maybe you're onto something here, that we have martinis with a tahini rim or a piece of eggplant that's on the toothpick that's in there. Instead sounds of a dirty like martini a with olive juice, it's a dirty martini with hummus. Getting a little crazy.
You are getting crazy.
that's quite the fusion.
Oh, Zavala, Joey Zavala. What are we saying here? Hojo just dropped
him. Get that up there. Well, I'm clicking.
I think you're at the same time. Cheesy jalapeno hominy. Boy, that does sound good. It's quite a guy right there, the Zavala. It's awesome. Too much fusion. Trumpet says at some point you got to be careful with too much fusion. Could get the it could turn out badly for you if you're listening on the podcast. Yeah. Mess up the weekend.
it's a quick weight loss remedy.
I guess so. Oh my goodness. Yeah, I don't know that I could deal with all them foreign things. You know, I do really enjoy anything you put on a tortilla, taco wise, that's barbecue. I've had some really great stuff. I do enjoy the Korean side of stuff sometimes. Just depends on what it is. As far as like other kinds of fusion is when we start blending traditional regional barbecue and you start combining those things. Like if you take a pastrami, I don't know if you ever did this or not, but this is one of my favorite things. There was a guy up here in St. Louis that his name's Ben Welch. He made some of the best freaking pastrami I ever had in my life. Mm-hmm. He also had a homemade white sauce he made. And he put that horseradishy white sauce on that pastrami. Son, let me tell you, it was the deal. It was really, really, really good. He's got a different store now. He's not doing that no more. But that is a real, that's fusion. You're taking some horseradishy stuff and putting it with some pastrami, Alabama white sauce, and you're putting it on a pastrami. Which pastrami is what? Where's that from?
Pastrami is an Eastern European.
Old world?
Yeah, that's old world, Eastern European. Like you take a brisket, and you can brine it, and that becomes your corned beef. Or you take the same piece of meat after it's brined, extract a good amount of that salt brine, and then pepper it on the outside. The only difference is with your pastrami, excuse me, with your corned beef, it's going to be smoked and then steamed, whereas your pastrami is going to be smoked and then usually it's wrapped in some towels and then cooked for a while that way so it retains all its moisture. And you make sure you have a really good black pepper bark on the outside.
Absolutely. Yes, that's what he had. He had that. Yeah.
Yep. Oh, yeah. You know, it looks like we've got the Susses jumping in again.
Figured you were going to pinpoint that one. I didn't get no free plane ticket. I don't know what he's talking about.
Oh, we're getting them. I think that was part of the deal. That and we have to solve the Middle East crisis.
Yeah, yeah. But the horseradish stuff. So how hot do you like your horseradish? Do you want it to clear your nostrils the first bite? Like when you bite in, you're like, oh, man, that's a lot.
And I love all radishes. I eat them like you're eating a carrot or you're eating, say, for example, like even like the standard red radish that we find everywhere. I just pop them right in and eat them. So if it's horseradish, now I'm going to eat it like a carrot. I just bite right into it. I love the texture. I love the consistency. And I love the spice. The hotter, the better. Yeah, I love that.
I'm not quite there, but no. I do like a really good hot horseradish, like prepared horseradish kind of deal. I'm not the guy that's going to bite into the root or whatever. I'm not that guy. It sounds like you are.
Its medicinal properties are great for detoxifying the liver. Great for the liver.
Everything wants out. You bite into that thing, everything wants out.
You know, that's it. It's a good flush.
But yeah, good creamy horseradish, though, I really do enjoy on beef. Yeah, for sure. Something that's not going to just burn my eye sockets.
So let's say you're making a, you know, prime rib, and people tend to put horseradish. It's interesting, but they do. They put horseradish on the outside of their prime rib before they put on all of their other seasonings. In fact, here's Trumpet Master mentioning right here that he uses it as a binder. So yeah. I'm curious, like when you're doing that and you're talking about making it creamy, are you taking that horseradish that's ground up in a jar and then adding your own mayonnaise or other concoction to it? Or do you buy it as or already made?
Already made.
Already made. Okay.
Typically. But I will say that homemade is always better no matter what. I just never made it personally. Sybil, my friends in St. James at Sybil's, if you ever make it to St. James, Missouri, you got to check out Sybil's restaurant down there. 5 stars, white table, white napkin, raised pinkies, the whole bit. They do make their own homemade, you know, creamy horseradish in there. That is the deal. You can't have beef without it. Like, it's a rule in there. But yeah, I do enjoy a prepared horseradish straight, which I think prepared is just mooshed is what it is. I don't know that they do anything else to it. I think it's just like cleaned up, smashed down, and then you would take that and blend it in with whatever goes in the creamy horseradish. I don't know this. I've never made it. Never read the ingredients on the bottle, so correct me if I'm wrong, but it appears to me that it is like something like sour cream, maybe, or mayo. I don't know. You tell me. I've never read the ingredients, but
I
it's
think
creamy.
It's
it's not as hot, and it is amazing. Yeah,
I don't think that they're using sour cream. That's to me. That sounds more like a baked potato. Yeah, like mayonnaise. You know, you think of Duke's mayonnaise. It's got twang. It's a great binder on the outside of chicken. I'm sure it'd be a great binder combined with horseradish to put on the outside of other types of proteins, other types of beef proteins, let's say. Yeah. And of course, you know, if you go to a restaurant, you get a slice of prime rib. Always on the side is a little bit of horseradish that they provide and a juice.
Yep.
So that's pretty standard.
That's a wrap for today's episode of the Barbecue Nerds Podcast, where smoke meets science and flavor always comes first. This episode is brought to you by Smokeslinger, the craftsman behind some of the best barbecue pits and offset smokers in the game. Whether you're a backyard warrior or a pro pitmaster, Smokeslinger builds custom pits designed to help you cook your best barbecue ever. Visit smokeslinger.com to see their lineup and bring competition quality smoke to your own backyard. A big shout out to Smokeslinger for fueling our passion and keeping the smoke rolling strong. And as always, keep those pits hot, the smoke rolling, and stay nerdy about barbecue.